Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 22 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. And it's just Josh this week. So, Josh, what's your highlight of the week?
Well, I talked to the old man today and Mum. I want to keep my future options open. I don't know what I want to do.
It's a bit late to nominate to the draft. I'll spoil that one for you.
Yeah, no, but not for the Senate. So I've just checked with them, and apparently they were born in Australia, and so were all our grandparents. So I'm clean, and I think there's very much going to be a shortage of people with that dual nationality quite soon.
I think actually it's this year because of, you know, there's a problem with eligibility. If you win the Brownlow, you automatically get a seat.
Oh, sounds fair.
It's going to be whoever's left for both seats, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's quite fair. Maybe we could even look at activating a little known clause in the Constitution. This is legit.
Prima nocta?
No, that's not in the Constitution. Oh, but New Zealand has the option of becoming a state of Australia. And that's legit. It's actually in there because they were considering it. And then New Zealand went, nah, fuck you guys.
I think because when it comes to government and all that kind of stuff, they're so far advanced. And
yeah, they don't fuck about. They're like, oh, bro.
Just fucking do it.
Bro, should we let the blokes marry the blokes? Yeah, bro. Okay.
Done.
Choice.
And that's it. Done.
Move on. Yeah. Should we have a treaty? Yes. Done. Move on.
Yeah, and they're super fast broadband. Ours is maximum speeds of 100 megabits per second. Theirs is minimum.
Yeah, pretty much because we decided to use copper.
Anyways.
But that'll just get me angry.
It's all politics.
This isn't the Facebook comment section.
My highlight of the week was I got summoned for jury duty this week.
Again?
No, this is the first time I've ever done it.
Oh, really?
Last time, though, I deferred because it would have been on the first day of a new job, and I thought, you know, it's a bit of a tough ask to walk in and say, by the way, guys, I'm not rocking up.
You got form.
I went one day for that other job. Anyway, actually, it turns out I could have made that first jury summons because I did quit that job. But anyway, I was looking forward to sitting in a comfortable room, and it is very comfortable, the jury room. For 6 hours and then just going home. So then they started pulling people in for, you know, here's the first ballot. And there's probably about 120 people in the room. And they pulled out 40 numbers. And the first 40, they trotted off. And I was happy I didn't get picked in that one because they said it's for a civil trial estimate running for 12 business days. But, oh, shit. Imagine that. So I didn't get picked in that. And then the next one, they said it's another trial running for 7 days. Didn't get picked for that. And then I said, oh, we've got another one to do straight away. I'm like, oh, all right. And I looked around and thought, it's getting a bit bare. She goes, I'll spoil it for you. You're all getting picked, but we still have to pull the numbers out just to make it legit. Okay. So anyway, I got pulled in for that one. They said, it's a criminal trial for 5 days. I'm like, all right. So we go up there and they explain a little bit. And then...
Are you going to be talking about this?
Yeah, I am now because it's all public record.
All right.
Because I'm finished is the end of the story. If I wasn't finished, I can't talk about it. And then, so there's 20 of us in a room and they have to pick out 12 or something like that. It was about 20. And it was funny because there was a drug case of somebody coming into the country and customs stopped them.
And so they did it.
Actually, no. It's a long and boring story. But it was funny because the customs stopped him. And then what they're allowed to do is when you get your name called out, you have to parade in front of the accused. And then walk over to the jury box. And
is there a strapper that leads you along?
Just about. I mean, if you don't do it right, the tip staff will lead you along. But anyway, and by the if you sit down in the juror's box and the accused doesn't say challenge, then you're on the jury. And he's allowed 6 challenges without reason. He can challenge for anything. And I thought it was funny. But anyway.
Did you do a turn?
No, I just walked straight up and through it. He only challenged one person, because when they pull your name out, they say your name and your occupation. Mm-hmm. And the one person the lawyer challenged, his occupation was customs broker. They went, challenge! And I'm sitting there going, yep.
No, that's dumb. Customs broker trying to get around customs duties.
But anyway, so the judge told us several times, this is going to be a quick one, don't worry about it. I'm like, okay, all right. And then he waffled on for about an hour and a half telling us what our job was. And I thought, you could have covered this in 5 minutes, mate. But anyway, you know, you got procedures and whatever. So then we went off and had lunch. Then we came back and they actually did an hour's worth of talking, which is actual trial.
What, the prosecution or?
Prosecution. Yeah,
start with that, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. The defense doesn't do shit at the start. And then they played a 25-minute interview with the accused when he was coming back into the country. And all watching, I'm going...
Was he in the court?
Yeah. He's at the back.
So he just wanted to see himself on the big screen?
Well, he didn't really have much of a say in what was going on. This is all the prosecution.
Ah, I'm with you.
Yeah, the defense doesn't do shit in a trial. I mean, they don't bring anything to it because they don't have to prove shit. It's the prosecution that has to prove shit. So anyway, the moral of the story was we saw about an hour's worth of interviews and evidence. And I'm looking at it going, fuck all here. Anyway, we go back to the jury room and I look at a couple of the other guys and go, fuck all, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, anyway. So we come back the next day and the tip staff, who's the bailiff, he comes in and goes, all right, we'll call you in at 10 o'clock. Or it might be a couple of minutes past if there's some legal arguments first. No worries. So we're sitting in the jury room just twiddling our thumbs, and about 10:15 he comes in. We go, all right, in we go. We go, grab our notebooks. He goes, nah, don't worry about them. I'm like, we're done. Walked in and said, don't worry about it, guys. You're done. No verdict needed. Something's come up and it's changed, so we're going to have to dismiss you. So it was 2 days worth for an hour's worth of discussion about fuck all. And then we just went, oh, we're finished. So I reckon that, I don't know what happened. Either they found more evidence or they realized we've got fuck all and then just called it quits.
Do you reckon the defense lawyer just gone? Is that it?
Oh, the defense lawyer said about 3 words for the whole thing. And like,
it was, nah, fuck off.
Pretty much. And like they only had 2 witnesses, and both of them were, you know, like customs officers. And the first witness said yes for about 13, 14 questions. They said, did this happen? Yes. Did this happen? Yes. 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 And then they showed us the interview where everything that she said yes to happened. We're like, well, that's great. None of it was insightful at all. It was 2 wasted days. And at the end of it, I felt like, I felt very unfulfilled. I'm like, I want a proper case. If I'm going to waste my fucking time, I want to, you know, put someone away for life or something.
It seems like Judge Judy could have knocked that out in 5 minutes.
Easily. And to be honest, it looked like the judge wanted to knock it out in 5 minutes. He goes, this will be a quick one. All right.
I feel like we need a Judge Judy style Australian drama. See, that's reality television I get behind.
You wouldn't film the MRP. So you put the MRP in front of it and like, oh, well, I know you stole it, but you didn't hurt him. You didn't hit him high when you did it. So 1 week. But I don't play footy. Yeah, but you can't drive the car for 1 week. Then you can go away. Anyway, so that was
Were you drunk? Yeah, good lad.
That was my 2 days of civic service. And you don't actually get paid for it. But
what?
Well, you get $40 a day, but it comes out of your normal... Like, your work has to pay me minus that $40.
Hang on. What?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You don't really get paid at all. But, I mean, I still get a full day's wage for doing nothing. And believe me, we did nothing.
But you wouldn't even be able to have phones or anything, would you?
No, I can have phones. Just when we go into the courtroom, we handed our phones over. So it's you're like you're secluded, but then you go, oh, out you go for lunch, mate. And it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. So,
did you give the bloke a wink to say, look, I can be bribed?
No. There was a part where you can excuse yourself.
It wasn't John Ibrahim in there, was it?
No, it was just some dude.
I'd say it might have been worth a couple hundred grand to you.
When they're pulling your names out, when you're in the actual court and they tell you what the trial's about, you can excuse yourself, but you've got to have a reason. You've got to write it down. And I started to think of the funny reasons I could have put, and like, because it was a heroin trial. And they said, oh, why would you excuse yourself? I'm like, well, because he deals me heroin. I thought,
I think there might be problems with that.
Yeah, I don't think they find the humour in it either, to be honest, but anyway. But anyway.
Bastard owes me $50.
Yeah. So it was a whole lot of doing nothing for 2 days. But anyway. All right, so let's go to the footy. And we'll start with one of the biggest, the most watched game of the season so far.
Yeah, honestly, lived up to the hype, I thought.
I thought it was all right.
I think all games this week were actually pretty damn good. They all had something.
They had some, yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that. The Swans got up, held on against the Crows. All the talk was about the umpiring during the week, but I didn't think it was that bad. Like, the Crows got everything early, and then there was the Eddie Betts 50 metres that ended up in a goal that just about decided the game. But I thought it was the wrong decision, but wrong decisions happen. You know, that's life.
Yeah, look, but I'm not saying if I was a Crows fan, I wouldn't be pissed about it, but there was probably a dozen wrong decisions throughout the whole day, and Adelaide got their fair share of them to benefit.
Yeah, well, there's no stinkers or anything like that. Like, yeah, it's probably wrong, but such is life. Move on. Like, don't let them kick, you know, five goals in the first quarter. And you'll have a different result. And I think that the Crows panicked at the end as well.
Yeah, plus 11-14.
Yeah.
Like, when you're that inaccurate.
Well, actually, you know what? 11-14 is not too bad because it was very greasy. 13-5 is ridiculous.
Well, that's what I mean. On the flip side.
And especially, obviously, everyone's, you know, spoken about Buddy's goal. Like, it's not bad. The fact that he's done it three times now.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it, to be honest.
It was
move on.
Friday night and goal of the week was already decided. It was that easy.
Young Mitch McGovern, he's come in a bit of form. I know Adelaide have struggled a little bit in the last month, but he's come good.
He's done all right. He took some nice grabs.
He kicked 4-1, which, geez, you take that every day of the week.
And it was in bursts as well. It looked like he was the one that was going to get off the chain for him. Because it was lucky, too, because Tex was having an absolute shocker. He was dropping everything and just, you know, anything that could go wrong for him was going wrong.
Yeah, I think he's one of those players, though, where we've said it before, he gets involved in everything, but in this one, yeah, he was just off.
He had a bad day, yeah.
Yeah.
He's won 50s too.
But he'll bounce back, and look, if he's shown anything, it's that he's either resilient as all hell or too stupid to realise the pressure he's under. So,
and let's not pretend that those two are mutually exclusive.
No, look, but bloke can play.
He can. All right, on to Mars Stadium. That's what they're calling it out there. Anyway, the Bulldogs and the Power. And
Mars Stadium. That must have been new. I'm sure it was Eureka Stadium last time I heard.
It could have been, yeah. Well, I'm staring at the AFL app, which tells me it's Mars Stadium, but I've got a feeling that Eureka Stadium's right.
Yeah, I think Mars must have thrown a couple of bucks. I'm pretty sure that's not on Mars.
No, I'm 90% sure.
Yeah.
Bulldogs and the Power. And the Power really, excuse the pun, powered away in the fourth to win this one. But
there's a lot of Richmond about the Power. Like,
a little bit, you reckon?
Well, when they're on, they look brilliant. They run the ball well. They're belting it forward. They're linking up, and it's fantastic. But when they just get that tiny fraction off, they embarrass themselves. In this match, they were pretty damn good for the whole thing and just blew them away at the end. But it was really tight all the way up to a couple of minutes to go.
I think they've got a lot of North Melbourne from last year. Because remember when North were, what, 9-0 and that kind of stuff?
I think they're better than North from last year, just quietly.
Yeah, but at the same time, you looked at North were 9-0, and you're like, yeah, but who have they beaten? And then by the end of the year, it caught up to them. Everyone's been talking about Port haven't beaten a top 8 side yet. But I think they've still got it there, but it's just been a couple of times they come up against top 8 sides and they've been absolutely belted.
Mm.
So it's just they've got to draw it back in. You know, when it comes to finals, if somebody gets, you know, 4 or 5 goals up, then you say, oh, shit, not again, and the heads drop and, you know, they're done. But I think the trick is you've got to get 4 or 5 goals up first, don't you?
Well, yeah. It can go either way, really. I'm going to be at the Port match this week, so it's going to be fun to watch them up close. But when I see that happen with Port, when they start to have a bit of running against them, you always look to see who's going to lead them out of it.
Yeah.
I love Robbie Gray. He's not the bloke to do that.
You reckon?
Not for my... Like, he's a bloke that'll... He'll try and take the game on himself, but I don't think he brings other players in. Not to the level that he could.
Not like a Travis Boak.
Boak is the one. Yeah. He is the one that will lead the team. Like, not just lead, but inspire them and bring them along with him.
Yeah. Come with me, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see Ollie Wines being that role, you know, in a couple of years. He's still bloody 22 or whatever he is.
Yeah.
So he's going to wear that mantle.
And a little Power Pepper. He had a moderately quiet one, but 12 tackles, and each of them being a monster tackle. I'll take that from the lad. Not bad for a young lad.
Yeah, he was rested the week before. So he's coming off one. But, I mean, he's playing against quality opposition in the reigning premiers. We're a little bit disappointing, of course. And I think that means that they need to win this week plus some results go their way in order to play finals, but looking unlikely.
Yeah. And just looking at the tackles, Libertore and McRae were the biggest for the Bulldogs with 7 each. But Boak got 7, Ebert 8, and Pal Pepper 12. So if you can out-tackle the Dogs, you've done well.
Yeah, well, it's been that year for them. You know, they just haven't really risen to it. You know, they've had injuries, but they had more injuries last year and they seem to come through it. So I don't know what's really changed. But things like Mitch Wallace got dropped, you know, for a poor effort. And Libba was probably one that was lucky not to get dropped.
It's been a funny old year for him. You don't want to say premiership hangover, but, well, Libba probably is still hangover.
Why not? I think it is.
They do seem a little satisfied.
Yeah, maybe. There's a few there that probably looking towards, you know, I'm quite happy with where I'm at. But I've always said premiership hangover, like, people say it like it's a bad thing. It's not too bad because you need the premiership first in order to have the hangover.
Oh, sure. And realistically, it could just be you've got a much shorter preseason. Plus, you've partied the fuck out of the last couple of... You know, the team that loses the grand final, their preseason starts next Monday. The team that wins it, you don't see them until 4 Mondays away.
I'm going to say they're off playing in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, wherever. Like, it's a bit of, you know, where in the world is Carmen Libertore?
Big Charlie Dixon had a good game too. Kicked 4 straight.
He's linked them together.
Yeah, he's done well. On to Collingwood and the Cats. And Collingwood, I'll tell you what, they really pushed them. A couple of weeks now, they've made it down and dirty and scrappy to give themselves a chance for, you know, what they lack in talent, they'll make up for in determination, which is the way to do it. But at the end of the day, Geelong had Paddy Dangerfield.
Yeah. But the funny part about this match is, and it's sad or great depending on your feelings about Collingwood, is that Collingwood had some good form in the last month.
They have. They've just been unlucky.
But all the media columns are picked up with Lumumba and with the board meeting tonight.
On the Lumumba thing, I thought that Buckley's response to it was really classy. And he said, you know, it's a shame that that's his memories from a career, you know, and good times. He obviously had some good times there as well. But, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I had fun, doesn't sell as many papers or books or watch on SBS or whatever it is. But I thought he was really classy in his response. He didn't need to go out of his way to do anything for it. But obviously he's going to get asked about it.
I mean... For mine, I actually think Lumumba would be an interesting bloke to chat to. Like, away from cameras, away from that.
Yeah, for a little while.
But the thing is, you don't know whether the persona that's been put forward is what he is, or whether it's just, you know, some people turn stupid in front of a camera, and some people, their volume just gets turned way up.
Yeah.
And other people just, you know, they're nice, normal people, and randomly go off. Lumumba does come across as a bit of a professional victim in a lot of this. For my money. Not to say he's wrong, though.
Yeah. I guess, again, there's the Venn diagram where they cross over.
Yeah.
Some of it, he might have been, you know, more sensitive than the average person. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to be. And some of the points he made, you know what, just might be right. But anyway, it'll be interesting. I think it's on this week. Is it this week or next weekend?
This week. It's a two-parter.
27th or something like that, I think it is. From memory, reading the article. But anyway, on the actual game, Dangerfield, that goal from 60.
Oh, fuck that.
Just
bloke.
A chip kick. You just look at it, and because it's a scrappy game, you know, there's only under 20 goals kicked for the entire day, and he's just slotted that one through, and you go, well, that's fucked, isn't it?
He seems like a cheat code player.
A little bit.
He's a bloke that's built fucking solidly. His first step and explosive speed is, you know, in a league of its own. Like, he won the sprints a couple of times, so he's obviously good over a short distance. But his ability to find the ball, to shrug a tackle, to find a team,
speaking of winning the sprint, I mean, a couple of people that have won the grand final halftime sprint, Dangerfield and Majak Dore, polar opposites in their football talent, though.
Yeah, you'd say so.
Thought I'd mention that. I thought Cox did all right as well. He's in an interesting position.
Full forward.
Yeah, because he was doing a little bit of ruck work as well. When I say a little bit, I mean he had to because, Grundy's suspended.
Well, when you're 7 foot tall, I think ruck is an option.
Well, it should be, but, you know, he struggled there at times. But he's never going to be the number one ruck at Collingwood, never in his career, because Grundy is just too good as a footballer. Never mind, he's 6 inches shorter or whatever. So he's got to try and find, am I a backup ruckman that plays in the full in the goal square? Because there's not much else he can do.
No, he can't go back. And he doesn't have the wheels to play on the wings. There's no point having him at centre-half forward because he's not a long enough kick and he can't sort of body out guys.
But he's not bad from 30 out.
No, so full forward works.
Yeah, which is something for, you know, ruckman. Something can be a little bit dangerous.
And if you can train him to just, all right, if you can't take the mark, bring it down in front of you. You've got Jamie Elliott running around there. Fucking sorted.
And still, I keep saying, one of my favourite rules in the AFL is the father-son rule. I just love the romanticism of it. Young Dacos ran out for Collingwood, which is got to be something, right?
Look, I can't imagine any other sport that has a father-son rule.
Yeah.
But I think it is integral to AFL. Because you love to see it. I think a sibling rule could come in too. But I do like how the mother-son, mother-daughter rule's in now.
Yeah, it could create interesting things in the future.
Yeah, you're going to have I think Brisbane should be stacking their women's side with a whole bunch of 40-year-old draft mums.
Yeah, just breed them through.
Oh, absolutely. Just have a rotating list, get them through. And next, you know, the first 10 picks go to Brisbane.
Well, if you're going to have a bunch of mummies boys that keep running home, at least make them your mummy boys.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, it's a way to do it. All right, on to the Giants in the West Coast. Not too bad from the West Coast, but I think when the teams were announced on Thursday, everyone looked at the Giants and went, my God.
Yeah, all their injured players are back and fuck, they look.
Just about. I think Lobb was late out, but that's about it. You know what? It's got me thinking with GWS that you've got to start calling Cameron into question. I know they're sitting third on the ladder or whatever it is, but with a list that talented, and most of them have been together for a long time, and they still look like they're just getting by on talent rather than systems, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that argument being made because there's nothing terribly innovative about the way they play. But no. When you've got players of that quality, and look at, you know, obviously you're talking about Josh Kelly. Bloke, it's 43 touches, a goal.
And knocked out.
KO'd, comes back in. To think at the start of the season, you and thousands of others were like, who the fuck's Josh Kelly?
Pretty much. When North Melbourne
throwing a million at him.
North Melbourne said, I think, about round one, we're chasing Josh Kelly for a million a season. And you know, what? Who?
Yeah, now. Why? Now a million starting price.
Yeah, like there exactly.
There'd be about 12 other clubs that would pay that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So for me, if North's talent identification team is good enough for that, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, it's just a shame they couldn't sign him then and there.
No. Well, I mean, not over yet, but yeah, he had an absolute belter. Yeah. Prittis got two, but not super impactful.
Second last game for him as well.
Two goals, 31 touches, still not a bad one.
There was a few times, I mean, this game was still up for grabs, and West Coast has still got a chance at finals, although it might have been snuffed out with this. They can still win next week and make it. There's a few efforts you thought, geez, guys, like, show something. You know, this is on the line. But really, I think that they're playing just to get Kennedy three Colemans in a row, which is no mean feat by any chance.
No.
By any stretch.
Delidio contributed well too, I thought.
He's getting worked up, isn't he? Second game.
But that's the funny thing. He's good at this time of the year, and he adds just another element to them. Like, a team that's got that much native talent already.
Yeah.
You add people, I mean, Delidio's not a finals experienced winner by any means.
No.
But he's an old head. He and Stevie J. Huh? Yeah. Once finals come through, and they'll be able to cruise through the first week or two on natural talent.
I don't know if Stevie J gets a game, to be honest.
That's what I mean. They're that good. He could be held out. But having, if you get an injury during finals, it can really break a team. But being able to have Stevie J plug forward, if you do get an injury, geez, it gives you a bit of assurance if you're a coach.
Yeah.
I think I could bring this team to a preliminary.
And silly to say, but injuries become so important during finals. You know, it's so often it's the best injury list that carries you through September. Although, obviously, the Bulldogs got through last year, but never mind. Half-decent game as well, actually. But
well, yeah, the late blowout doesn't really give status to the how good the game was.
Yeah, West Coast were in it with 5 minutes to go and then, you know, got done by 4 goals. But which is just all talent from the Giants. And, you know, late in the game, they're still running hard. I mean, that's big.
And Toby Green, too. Yeah. I don't think he got reported this time.
Not a bad effort from the lad.
Yeah, he's done well.
We'll take that.
Yeah. I reckon he's got his own coffee cup at the MRP.
He certainly paid for a few anyway.
Yeah, the thing is, though, as belligerent as he is, he can play.
Of course, yeah. Everyone says it. That's why it's must be so frustrating for GWS. It's because he's too talented to be sitting in the stands for stupid shit. And even, you know, with the kick in the face last week when he was getting booed by the Bulldogs, to go back and then slot the goal like it was nothing. Just, I love that kind of stone cold, you know.
Oh, coolness under pressure is exactly what they need. And
coming into
exactly
finals.
What every team needs. I'd have him on the team.
Saturday night, the Suns eventually capitulated to the Dons. It was always going to go this way, but they put up a fight for the first three quarters, which is what we expected.
It was a bit of death by a thousand cuts, really.
A little bit. I mean, 12 goals, 18. Or even look at, you know, 12-18 to 9-3. So at least they are accurate. You can say that about them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, put Solly as 0-2. But look, you wouldn't be completely embarrassed about this, especially coming against his old side.
Whispers are, and I don't have any special knowledge, but whispers are that they'll be going for an experienced coach.
Yeah. Look, I think Gold Coast would need that. You know, as an average pundit, I would say they'd be looking for someone. I mean, shit, if Paul Roos is willing to head up to Gold Coast, they'd be jumping on him straight away. I don't think he is.
Well, I think it's been quite public that they've approached Brad Scott, or they've had whispers to Brad Scott on the sly, but there might be more than one current AFL coach that they've approached as well.
Well,
and Brad Scott isn't the first choice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It could also depend, like, if Brad Scott does go, does he take Goldstein with him?
It very well could.
Although, based on the retirement we saw yesterday at Hawthorn, they could certainly chase him.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Fitzy even played a game this year. He was only on the rookie list.
No, but he was, younger ruck option coming through.
Nah. We got obviously Big Boy, who's had his best season. We got Mark Pitnett, who's green as, but you know, he's another year or two. But Segler, who sat out this entire year with a knee reco. So, you know, there's three options there. I think that's enough, especially the way the game's played now. You don't have two ruckmen, you have one part timer. So, hopefully not, but anyway, you never know.
No, I hope he doesn't go to...
When it comes to trade week, you know, Hawthorn are the most surprising side, without a doubt.
Fucking anything could happen.
Anything could happen. In this game, Zacharakis had the ball on a string. A little bit disappointed in big Joey Danaher. Had a chance to go for the Coleman this year. And he's playing against, you know, one of the sides in the bottom four. And he's barely touched the ball. He's only kicked the one. But I guess, you know, it says that he was getting attention.
Yeah, he's one of those players, though, that is up and down. Like, he does seem to sometimes just not have much hunger, if you know what I mean. Like, he's phenomenal talent.
You reckon, yeah, but you got two games to go to have a chance for a Coleman medal, which would be massive for him and his career and for Essendon. You know, the first year back and all the shit they've been through. A bit of something.
I totally agree. And look, I'm not chatting to the bloke or anything, but it seems from the outside that he's kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe. Like, he doesn't seem too fussed about it.
Yeah,
or maybe he is and he got the pressure overwhelmed him. I don't know.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I know they're all going to say, you know, team first and we're just trying to win, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, fucking bullshit. Essendon isn't getting the flag this year. If you can get any medal range neck, you know,
why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? But anyway, maybe they'll try and get him 15 goals this week.
Fuck that. If my team wasn't going to win the flag, I'd go for Tool of the Week if I had to. They still have that?
I don't think they do. That show ended 10 years ago.
Ah, well.
All right, on to the other game on Saturday night, which I attended, Carlton and Hawthorn. I got to say, one of the most interesting games you've ever seen for, a, you know, 17th versus 12th or whatever it was.
I tipped Carlton. I tipped Hawthorn as well, but I tipped Carlton.
You tipped a lot of people. I was even saying during the week, like, I could see Carlton winning. Like, just because the way that they tend to just pop up and surprise clubs.
I've said this a few times, and not just because North's sitting at 17th and looking at a spoon, but it's one of the most even seasons we've ever had. Like, five wins get you the spoon.
Yeah, well, is that what it is this week? Because you got spoon bowl, spoon bowl this week. Yeah,
whoever wins will get six and finish 17th.
17th, yeah.
So, I can't... from memory, last few seasons, every spoon has been like 2-3 wins.
Yeah. Well, we've been going through expansion clubs, you know, before that as well, which we're lucky
to get. Getting motored over. But even so, when you line up against... North and Brisbane aren't steamrolled. Like
No, not like Frio.
No, fuck. It's one of those seasons where you could never go into a game thinking, we're going to fucking kill them and I'll put the house on it.
Well, especially Brisbane. Like, they've shown some stuff this year.
Yeah.
It's been... they've got a lot out of it.
Absolutely. And they've got players that every team would want.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike
The whole even competition thing has really come home to roost this season. It's been one of the closest, best seasons I can think of in recent memory, even though my team has been fucking shit.
Yeah. But in this game, like, same with the Adelaide-Sydney game, for some reason I like it when the team that has less scoring shots wins. I like that reward for accuracy.
Yeah,
12 goals, 5 to 10-10. And the Blues, though, they had a plan and they stuck to it. I mean, that is not just good coaching, but it's great players to stick to it. And the job that Jed Lamb did on Sicily
in his head,
unbelievable. Like, it is the best game of his career by far. And we've been saying, like, Sicily was, you know, all Australian type form in the second half of the year. He was absolutely blanketed. He was beaten in the mind, he was beaten in the air, and he was beaten on the ground.
And that's, I think he gave away about 7 free kicks.
Yeah, would have been. And
a couple of them being goals.
Yeah, more than one. I think at one stage in the third quarter, there was, I think Carlton had 9 goals and 8 of them were from free kicks. And all there. Like, that was clearly where Hawthorn lost it, was giving away free kicks. There was nothing wrong with them.
Yeah. And look, let's be honest, Sicily probably should have got a couple back because they were stirring the shit out of him. And there were a few that were, you know, tummy taps or whatever. But once you're in the umpire's bad books, like, umpires are people too. If they don't like you...
But if they've seen 3 or 4 times you've given away a free kick, they're like, right, well, I'm going to watch him, aren't I?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying it's entirely fair, but you get a rep, that's what happens.
It was so many times, though, they were right. He was retaliating, but it was a pushing match that he turned into a punching match. I'm like, well, mate, I've got to give the free kick against you. You've given me no choice.
But that's what happens when you've got a forward going back. He's used to getting those kicks. Because a forward gets more frees than a back,
yeah, but
generally.
He's been there all year, though. I think it was, they knew he's got a bit of a temper, and they said, all right, we're going to target it. And they did it before the opening bounce, and he fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
It's going to happen for the next
the rest
year
of his career
so.
Now.
Yeah.
What I did like, though, was, because Alistair Clarkson said, you know, we're not making finals, that's what. And there was, you know, that slim mathematical chance that they could, and he went, nah, we're not. So instead of moving Sicily off and say, right, we'll put you forward, we'll get you away, this is costing us too many goals, he said, nah, you stay there. You're going to fucking learn about this. And it wasn't until halfway through the third quarter that you could see Sicily just went, I've got to stop reacting. And he just went, I'm not going to react. And I thought, okay, it's taking you 3.5 quarters. So you probably should have figured it out a little bit earlier than that. But anyway, you've learned something. And then in the final quarter, they went, oh, go down forward.
He is one of those passion players, though. And when he's on, he looks great.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me as well, a player to watch for this one was Pickett.
Yeah, he did some very exciting things. I don't know why they tried to take him on so many times.
He looked great.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those players that didn't have a lot of the ball, but when he did impact a play, it was a massive impact. Although kicking that when he got Gunston holding the ball in the pocket and then kicked straight back out of bounds on the full.
Yeah, that was...
unlucky, but...
but that holding the ball was... pretty good. He tried to get step around and he just gone nah
and just slipped right over. Yeah, it was a really poor decision, and that happened 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I don't think bulking a smaller player is a risk for a taller guy, and Gunston's more mobile than most big guys.
Yeah, but what it was it was just really smart from Pickett, because he wasn't trying to bulk him, he was trying to run with the shepherd on the man on the mark. Problem is, as soon as he went to play on, he jumped in front of the shepherd and went, well, that's fucked up then. But anyway, it's just the way it goes.
I think Pickett doesn't mind a bit of a tackle either. Yeah. He seems pretty keen for it.
Doherty had the ball on a string, but Liam Jones.
How good was... like, his... brilliant. He had golden fist punch of the weeks about
three,
four in a row.
Three or four times, yeah. It was brilliant. For me, he was best on ground.
And how good a coach must you be to turn him into a serviceable footballer and then into a highlight footballer?
Yeah.
One who's getting standing ovations when they were going to delist the bloke.
Actually, there's a couple of standing ovations on the night. We'll get to that. But he still might sneak into All-Australian despite not playing for the first 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh, he's been spectacular.
I'd argue for him to get left in, put in the side. Just maybe he hasn't played enough games. But
he's been the best rehabilitated backman since Robbie Tarrant.
Yeah, I think that Robbie Tarrant didn't come from as far back as what Liam Jones did.
Oh, he's pretty far back. I don't know.
Not as far back as Liam Jones. Nobody was that far back.
I think Liam Jones has actually played more games than Robbie Tarrant. Anyway.
Maybe we can make Tyrone Vickery into a centre-half back.
Look, if you can do that, Clarkson has eclipsed Lee Matthews.
he's got the same amount of flags as Lee. Sorry. Anyway, it was the last time that Carlton beat Hawthorn was 2005. Standing ovation came in the second quarter when, gone blank, Langford kicked a set shot from about 35 out. A genuine standing ovation from the crowd where I was.
I feel for Langford. Like, he does so much right. But then in front of goals, he's terrible, and his delivery can be fucking hit and miss.
His delivery's gotten better, and... by saying that, it is now just below average. But I think they said before this game, set shots, he's kicked 1 goal, 9, and 6 out of bounds on the full.
Oh, fuck. So it's cloak-esque.
2 goals, 9 now. But anyway. And Hawthorn just didn't have a target up forward.
Yeah.
That's what made it. In the last quarter, Carlton was spent. They had no tickets left. And they just went, right, we just got to stop it down back because that's where the ball was going to be. And they did it. And Hawthorn made dumb decisions.
Has Burgoyne signed on?
Not yet. But like I keep saying, every day that goes past that a press conference isn't called is a day closer to signing on for next year. He deserves it. He's still good enough.
I'm not thinking he's retiring. I'm thinking Port Adelaide would probably use a player like him.
I can't see him leaving, to be honest. He's got family.
Yeah, but, you know, another premiership. That'd be what they're selling him.
They could try it. And, you know, it might happen, but I doubt it.
Probably got family over there too. He was there a while.
He was, yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Be interesting.
Okay, on to the Sunday games and the Demons and the Lions in, I thought, was one of the best games of the round.
Oh, how good was Bernie Vince demolished the Lions?
Didn't he?
He took out the primary and the support beams.
Yep, well done, well done.
I was happy with that one.
Yep, been sitting on that one for a while.
I have. I thought we were going to record last night. I actually wrote it down.
Well done. Big Jesse Hogan, though, kicking a bag of 6.
Fuck, I hope they piss tested him. He went from broken collarbone, holy fuck, my season's over, to 2 weeks later, I'm good.
And cancer.
Yeah, fucking cancer as well. What the fuck?
To rush back. I mean, okay, it was against the team sitting in 18th, but still, you kick 6.
Kick 6, and I think they pulled a Hulk Hogan on this one. Or, no, Hitman Hart. They strapped up the wrong collarbone. Literally.
Did they do that again?
Yeah.
Just try.
So they strapped up the opposite one because, you know, footy players, especially back.
You got to test it out.
Left and right, not so great. So they're running into the good arm.
So Walker for the Lions, he took some nice grabs, and so did Harms. There's a lot of good grabs in this game, actually.
Pedro. He had some great... And he is nice in his running best form.
Yeah, he kicked a nice running goal.
Yeah, he kicked a brace. He got three. It's probably his best game that I can think of. And he's had a great season. For a bloke that was sort of a list clogger for maybe the last 7 or 8 years, he has really come into form.
Yeah. Good duel in the middle, too, with Gorney and Martin, two blokes that love a bit of a push and a shove as well. But yeah, I thought this game had everything. It was really good. I'm glad that the Demons got up too, because it gives them a chance at finals.
Yeah, I do want to see the Demons play finals, because it's been long for them.
See all the cheese boards come out, you know, put out your cheese boards. That'd be great.
Oh, I do fucking love that. I love how they're living up to their stereotype.
And
proud of it.
Of course, and like we said, you talked about it last week.
But the only loser here is Mount Hotham.
Yep. All right, on to the Saints and North at Etihad Stadium. It was Nick Riewoldt's last game at Etihad, and you know they cheered him off, and tears in the crowd, and tears in Riewoldt's eyes, and you know they're not going to see him play unless they go to the MCG this week.
Well, there is that. Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit funny, but obviously he was emotional his last home game. But you're playing 300 meters, or okay. 3 kilometres away next week. I just thought it was weird.
Yeah, but you're in the visitor's car park.
Oh, you know, there's only one car park. But yeah, you're the visitor's cheer squad. But anyway, you know, he's going to get cheered off 2 weeks in a row, I guess.
Yeah, tale of North season, really. As soon as, I think it was Nielsen, went down and finished his day KO'd, and then almost straight after Goldstein got a poke in the eye and he was off, I was like, fuck, this is going to be rough. Goldstein, though, I thought had a good game.
Did he? He needed one.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know what his contract's like, but he's certainly playing for it.
Well, the thing is, he finishes up this year, I think, or next year. I think his contract expires.
Right.
I think it might be next year. But at the moment, he is kind of surplus to requirements.
Yeah, it's so fast, doesn't it?
And the other thing is, too, North have a shit ton of academy and father sons coming up. They're going to need a lot of points.
Right.
And that presumes Blakey will come to North, because he could go to Brisbane or Sydney.
Yeah.
But there's young Thomas. There's a whole bunch of academy players from Tasmania. North going to need about 5,000 points. So they need to bottom out next year too to even have a hope of getting the draft picks they want.
Yeah, it was. It became a bit clinical after a while, though, for the Saints. Turned into a bit of pot shots. And
it was just... they ground away at North.
Yeah. It was a team that was too good.
Yeah, North never looked like getting a run on. I think North got consecutive goals, actually.
Oh, really?
Thinking about it, I could be wrong. But
yeah, they did in the fourth.
Yeah, so...
There you go. Yeah, it took them till the fourth. Yeah.
Yeah, so that once. Once they're consecutives. And you can't win a game if you don't get consecutive goals. And I think a big part of that was every time they try to get a run on, St Kilda just monstered them.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they're playing that quick handball at the back of the pack style play, and ain't working.
Yeah.
That's not to say it can't work if they get Dusty Martin, Josh Kelly, Hopper, and maybe a couple of other players in. But with who they've got right now, it ain't working. And Ben Brown trying to play out the ground, he doesn't have the speed.
No.
He's a brilliant stay-at-home full forward.
Yeah.
When he's got 3 steps to leap at the ball, very few players have the ability to spoil him. But he's not a Riewoldt. He can't run up to the wing. And I don't know why the fuck he was trying.
I think he was chasing kicks, to be honest. Yeah. And why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, it was a dark horse for the Coleman.
But, a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
He needs to kick about 20 this week, I think.
Well, it could happen, but I doubt it. Especially because I think you're playing away from home too, aren't you?
Yeah, it's at the Gabba.
It's at the Gabba, yeah.
All right. Unless the Gabba's tilting and there's a gale blowing at one end, I don't think... he'll give it a red-hot crack, let's be honest. And that's probably what I'm going
to
be watching.
We'll go to the final game, which is the Dockers and Richmond. I thought Richmond were going to win, and then...
Because of that, you thought they'd lose?
No, I thought, you know, there's a chance that they could fuck this up, but it was made apparent very early that they were going for the jugular. It's hard to keep yourself motivated when you're up by 10 goals in the third quarter, but it looked like they went, no, we want 100. And I've never seen a side be so hungry to get the 100.
Well, I guess because they're playing for like a final spot, as in the players.
Yeah.
Like they want to be in the best 22.
Yeah, their own spot.
Yeah. Jacob Townsend, best game. Could you pick him out of a lineup?
No, could not.
No, he's probably the least well-known bloke who's kicked 6 goals this season.
Yep, yeah. I'd say that's very, very likely.
But 6-1 as well, he's done brilliantly.
Well, 25-5, that is phenomenal.
Oh, brilliant, and very un-Richmond-like.
Exactly, yeah, I can't remember the last time Richmond did that, and did it away from home. It was more about Richmond this game than how bad Frio are, but that's, I think, 300-point losses this year, and 2 in a row for.
Yeah, I don't think the cue's in the rack. I think the cue's been snapped over someone's head and just thrown out the back.
When you're throwing Alex Rance full forward, you're really taking the piss, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, that's just that's the old ball-y style. All right, pick the goal, rotate through, everyone just move up a line.
Move up a line, away you go. Yeah. I thought it's... I don't know if it's arrogant, but it worked, and he still kicked a goal.
fuck it.
I think he's 8th or 9th through his career or something like that.
Give him something to cheer about. Like, the bloke's done the hard yards for a team that has been struggling, not bad enough to have a rebuild, but not good enough to have a finals run. But look, they're coming in with a full head of steam into their finals campaign and looking like they might win one.
It puts them in a chance that if GWS lose this week, and GWS have got a tough game, if they lose by enough and the Tigers win by enough, they could actually beat them on percentage. It's unlikely, but they've given themselves a chance. So they could actually climb up an extra spot. Doesn't really mean much. They finish 3rd or 4th, but you know, it's something. And it was good to see that they kept themselves motivated all the way through.
Tell you what, if the Tigers do manage to get a run on and win the flag, Melbourne's going to wish they had built the east-west tunnel.
Yeah.
Because trying to get past Punt Road would be fucking impossible for a week and a half.
God, I'm going to say, you never thought I'd see the Bulldogs win a grand final, but to put Richmond on top of that, it'd be unbelievable. Anyway, it'll be the fun ride to follow the Tigers through September, especially if they get the double chance. But anyway, all right, we'll do a quick round 23. We need to wrap up. Hawthorn and the Bulldogs on Friday night, Etihad Stadium. It's the farewell game for half of the Bulldogs and half the Hawks.
Well, who is it? Hodge? Boyd?
Morris.
Morris, Murphy.
Murphy, and Gibson's going to do a lap of honour
as well. Gibson as well, yeah. Because he's injured at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah. He said
he's probably not best 22, but he probably still would have got
it. Exactly. And they said he's about 75%. He could come back for a farewell game, but what's the point? So he's happy with that. I just hope he does media, because I think he's a weird cat and he'd be good at it.
He is an odd bloke. There was that story that James Brayshaw told about, well, Gibson and himself.
Yep.
Apparently, back when he was at North, Gibbo was known as a bit of a ladies' man, liked fashion and everything.
Yep.
And
I don't think much has changed.
Yeah. James Brayshaw, for whatever reason, thought he was still an athlete. And he'd work out in the gym and then go showering the showers with the lads and whatnot. I don't know why. And then apparently Gibbo's seen him in the shower and go, mate, you better fix that shit up. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, down there. What the fuck are you trying to grow down there? That's fucking hideous. Shave that shit. He's like, what? The old tackle? He's like, yeah, nah, put a razor over that, mate. You got to, neaten up. He's like, oh, all right. And he was, Brayshaw's an older bloke, and he's thinking, oh, this is what young lads are doing. Better have a look at it. And so he's put the razor over the old, meat and two veg.
Box and dice, yep.
But problem being, it's a bit awkward, and he's had a couple of little nicks.
Yep.
But he's thinking, oh, whatever, I got to go to work. And he's working at Triple M at the time doing the breakfast show. So partway through, he's gone to go to the loo as they're doing a quick break, and because it's the breakfast show and it's an ad break, he's got to run to the loo, take a quick piss.
Yep.
They reckon the boys heard him scream because he's pulled the dacks on while there's still been a little bit of blood.
Oh, and it's stuck.
A scab has formed through the jocks and stuck. And when he's pulled the jocks down, he's, it let through a bit of a yelp, and the lads tried to figure out what happened, and when he told them, they pissed themselves. They couldn't come back from commercial for 5 minutes.
It's very much a James Brayshaw story and not a Josh Gibson story, though.
Well, he instigated that whole thing.
I can see why James would tell it. But
that's why he blames Gibbo.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, I think that... I don't think emotion's enough to get Hawthorn over the line. Bulldogs, too much run?
I would say so, but Bulldogs, I think, have a point to prove. I don't know if they can prove it.
Yeah, they've still got a slight chance at making finals. I'm hoping it's just one big love fest for this game, and it's just a farewell for everybody. And, you know, half the team's going to get chaired off, so...
Well, actually, they have to get a Little League to start carrying players.
There's going to be a few. There might just be a procession.
Yeah. The thing is, though, even though I'm not expecting brilliant skills from this game, but it'll still be worth watching because there'll be such a level of emotion, such a level of something to talk about.
Yep.
It'll be worth being there.
Besides all the memes, I mean, you know, with Hodge going away, I mean, three-time premiership captain, four flags, two normies. They don't come around every day. Collingwood and Melbourne at the MCG. Yeah, you know what? It's going to be a good game. There's some, bigger clubs playing, but this could be match of the round. Like, the most watchable game, I reckon.
It's going to be interesting, particularly because Melbourne still need a win to guarantee playing finals.
Yep.
And Buckley's been told he's got this game, so he's going to be coaching the last round.
Yep.
But you have to say a loss would hurt him. A win... And then he's had a nice run on to finish the season.
I think he's going to still be coach at Collingwood next year, but I think a win here makes it 100%.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Honestly, I don't think he's the best bloke to be coaching Collingwood, but I think he's the best bloke at the moment.
So I'm going to tip Collingwood in an upset.
Oh, I'm going to be loving watching Gorn versus Grundy. Is Grundy back?
I'm not sure. I don't know when his suspension ends.
I thought he only got one.
I can't remember.
If he's back, that's going to be brilliant. Yep. If Grundy's still out, I think Gorn's going to have a fair day out.
Field day. Spoon Bowl, Brisbane hosting North. I'll tell you what, I think Brisbane might have this, you know?
Well, I always have a thing where when 17th and 18th play, bet on 17th because they don't know where the next win's coming from. but in this one, a win is a loss because you miss on number one. But the thing is, too...
They're not going for the same player.
No, I can't see them competing, but North does need the points. If they want to trade the number one draft pick to try and pick up some father sons.
I doubt you're not going to trade, you're not going to trade two father and sons for the number one draft pick, surely.
Depends on the father. If it's Blakey was a top three, I reckon.
Yeah, but...
So you're not losing out on a quality player there. But he has to declare for North, too.
Yeah, that as well. Like you said, I think he's Swans Academy.
Yeah, he is Swans Academy, and then his dad obviously played for Brisbane too, or Fitzroy. But
It's Brisbane.
Having said that, North's injury list is, there's about 12 tests. So Goldstein's a test, Zeebel's a test, Cunnington's a test.
And by test,
Waite's a test.
I mean, could you be bothered?
Pretty much. Ben Brown's a test. There's so many players who may or may not play. I hope we get to see a bit more of some of the younger lads, like Zerha and Simpkin. They've shown bits, but I think Waite should probably get out there too because he's been sitting on his ass so damn long.
You don't know if it could be his last run around too.
Well,
I know he's got a contract, but you know, that doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah, not these days. I hope North can win just because it's already the lowest they've ever finished.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go no lower.
Mind
you, last time on the spoon, they won the flag 2 years later. So
yeah, in the 70s. So I'm tipping Brisbane, but you'll stick with North. Swans and Carlton. There's going to be a flogging because Carlton got their win last week. They'll be happy with that, and they'll just phone this one in.
Oh, even if Carlton were motivated, Swans looking dangerous.
Yeah, and I think Swans might actually rest a couple of players. You never know. Oh well, there's the bye week, so they probably won't.
Well, I think even if Swans rest a couple, they're still too good.
Yeah, exactly.
Their injury list too is mighty tiny.
It is, and that's why they're going to be dangerous come September.
There's only three who are going to be out for sure, and that's Naismith, Fox and Cameron. And look, do they make a difference to that team?
No, Naismith is the only one that's close to best 22.
Yeah.
The Cats are hosting the Giants down in Cadinia Park. We get to see if the Giants are legit. I mean, I know they're sitting second and it sounds weird, but they get to decide now. And there's an excellent chance that these two teams play again next week.
Yeah.
Or the week after, you know, fucking bye weeks. Jesus.
We could see Tim Taranto come back too. Rory Lobb, we don't know what's going on with that.
Probably will. If he's a late exclusion, you reckon he'd be back in?
Yeah. Stevie J and Stevie J is going to be coming back. Bunteen and Griffin are still out. But other than that, I can't go against GWS, even though it's at Simpson
Stadium. That list is just too good, isn't it?
It is, particularly when you think this is still you know, without Selwood, without Nakai Cockatoo, without Blitzars, who are their best 22 players.
Yeah.
I don't want GWS to have an easy run, but I every time I think of Cats have a great player, GWS have got another two. Dangerfield.
Except for Dangerfield.
He's brilliant. But Josh Kelly's not that far behind, and then when you throw in the other people in the midfield with him,
like Shields and
midfield's ahead, and then you've got Patton v Hawkins. That's a good shootout.
Yep,
I'd probably lean towards Patton
at the minute, but I think that the experienced backline of the Cats is going to be important.
Yes, that is very true.
But the GWS midfield could kick enough goals that
and GWS's backline isn't too bad either.
Yeah, Davis has had a great year.
He has. He is brilliant.
I really like Davis. So I'm tipping Giants. You're tipping Giants.
Yeah.
Power and the Suns at Adelaide Oval. Power by 100.
Oh, they will. They will run right.
There's no more for that. They'll run right. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to this one. So I'm hoping it'll be a bit of fun. But
no.
Look, I'm not expecting the Suns to do much. But I'll be in there. I'll have to get pretty pissed, I think.
Essendon and Frio at Etihad Stadium. Nobody will be watching that game. Essendon by lots.
Well, Essendon need to win to have a chance of playing finals. So
a win guarantees them.
Yeah. So, but they won't be shy about putting on a fucking storm either. Yeah. And let's be honest.
And at Etihad,
I wouldn't expect several Dockers to make the trip.
No.
I think a few of them will be like, "Yeah, nah, boss, we're good. Yeah, we'll just chill at home."
Tigers and Saints at the MCG. It'll be Nick Riewoldt's final game.
I do like this match, actually.
It'll be great. It'll be an emotional day. I've got tickets to this game. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Saints can't make finals, can they? But I think they'll still give them a few headaches, but I think Richmond is going to... Too much to play for. I think the chance that they might finish above GWS will be enough for them to play hard and a bit too strong.
The Saints can... But it's highly unlikely because their percentage is shit.
Well, then they'll know.
Yeah, exactly. They'll know for sure. And the final game, West Coast hosting Adelaide at the last AFL game at Domain Stadium.
And again, West Coast need to win if they can even think of finals. But
they need to win plus results go their way.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
No, and Adelaide are fighting for minor premiers, really, which doesn't make much of a difference against second, but you probably still want it, I think.
Oh, you take it. It's merch you can sell.
Absolutely. It's something, but it means you guarantee yourself, you get to play fourth and the slightly easier draw, whatever it is, but it's something as well. I think you'd want to go in with that. You don't want to lose two in a row going into September.
Yeah, and who's sitting third at the moment?
Geelong are third.
Yeah.
GWS can finish first if they make.
No, I was just thinking, how high can Sydney move? Sydney can theoretically move up to fourth if Richmond and Port both lose, but that won't happen. Who would you rather play first week of finals, Richmond or Geelong? Probably Richmond.
Richmond all day.
Yeah.
They have haven't won their last six or so.
Jeez, imagine if that does happen though. If Crows play Richmond first week of finals, I've got to tip Crows. And if Richmond lose and then are staring down, going out in straight sets.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaker.
That is one derailed bandwagon.
Yeah.
Or they could win it all and go to the flag. I mean,
that'd be nice to see, but
time will tell.
All right, so next week we'll wrap up the minor season and we'll have a look at our pre-season predictions and who won that. I think I'm reigning champion in our pre-season predictions, but I haven't had a look to see how we went this year. I know I've got some wrong. We'll have a look at that next week.
I think I tipped North, just missed out, and I think I was right.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.